look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.
Wow. Thank you, Sue, for volunteering. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you volunteered.
Okay, we've had lots of things that happen in our lives that, as you look back in history, you go, wow, you really, it was no big deal, that problem that I had or that issue that I had or, you know, whatever it may have been. However, at the time, does it look about that size? Because that rock right now looks about the size of a two-story house to me. And it's definitely an obstacle for the road. But God says, there isn't anything that's going to stop him. Not a thing. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus' ministry, as it progressed, he had lots of obstacles getting in his way. And I can think of a couple of them. Pharisees, Sadducees, and all the rest of the self-righteous do-gooders. The most obvious were the members of the political and the religious establishments, like Herod and some of the other political leaders that we don't necessarily know about. But certainly, there were the Pharisees. They felt threatened for a variety of reasons. The Pharisees felt threatened because they were the religious leaders, but what was Jesus doing to them? Usurping them. It started with John the Baptist when he came out of the wilderness and he started baptizing in the name of God. That got their attention. And at first they thought, well, he was Elijah, but he wasn't. He was John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus says a lot of upsetting things to everybody. And so the Pharisees are now realizing that he is going to overtake their power, their authority, their prestige, who they are, because he's God incarnate, right? He's God the divine. And then the political people, like Herod and others, were very fearful for what he was going to do because they kept saying there's a new king. It's kind of like the new sheriff in town. There's a new king in town. But that's not what he was there for. He was there to become king of eternity, king of all the universe. But at the time, they didn't understand that. But Herod the Great, he definitely wanted to make sure that Jesus was dead. Obviously, he didn't do a very good job. Jesus' determination is clear. That he will keep on no matter what. That he will reach his goal. And what was his ultimate goal? It was to be hung on the cross. He knew that. He knew that going into his ministry. For Jesus, there is no turning back. For you as Christians, there is no turning back. Did you know that? There's no going back. You're moving forward. The Holy Spirit's within you. It moves you forward. He moves you forward. God is not going to allow you to come back as an unfulfilled promise. He wants you with him. He is on a course that cannot be interrupted, not even by a dangerous and murderous leader, meaning Herod. You tell that fox, he says, that I will reach my goal. Now, foxes. Certainly you've seen them in cartoons, like the Bugs Bunny cartoons and others. They're very sly, cunning, clever, that sort of thing. But they're also incredibly smart. They really do know what's going on around them. And that's what he was calling Herod. Herod was being sly. He was being cunning. But he was not going to let Herod get in his way. A fox is deceptive and wily. It's a small animal. And it chases weak animals like chicks. Chicks are only about that big. You don't see foxes going after moose. You don't see them going after deer. They're just not like that. And who in here's Rod, have you gone hunting for foxes?
I have.
You have some. How big is a fox? So it's really like a small dog then. Okay. But what? It's interesting that Jesus calls Herod a varmint. That's really what he's calling him. He's kind of like, you know, somebody, Sam. He's calling him a varmint. And that had to be a huge insult to Herod. He's going, I'm not afraid of Herod. And think about it for a minute. Herod had a huge army. He had the Roman army that was stationed there in Jerusalem and throughout Israel. He could have said, go take him out. Go attack Jesus. Bring him here in chains. Kill him on the spot. Whatever he wanted him to do, but it wasn't going to happen. God was not going to allow that to happen. So it didn't matter how much Herod blustered or got upset. There wasn't a thing he could do. And it's interesting to know that there were other times where Jesus faced just as menacing a person or other people. Like in the when he first read out of Isaiah, you know, the word of God is completed before you today. You know, I am here. And then Jesus goes on to, you know, chastise those that are the listeners. What they want to do? They wanted to go throw him out of off a cliff right away. You know, so there was all the time these death threats against Jesus. Didn't work out. They couldn't do it. The city, Jerusalem, on Jesus' radar was where he was going to end up eventually. That was the unstoppable course, is that eventually he would be in Jerusalem. Jesus compares his love for Jerusalem as a hen for her chicks. Spreads out the wings, takes care of the chicks. Jesus wanted to do the same thing with Jerusalem, but they rejected him. Jesus saw how Jerusalem continually, the people of Jerusalem continually rebelled against God's love. But God's love for them was unbound. It was boundless. It was always there for them, but they kept rejecting him. Jesus loves Jerusalem, but ultimately his love for her, Jerusalem, will be the death of him. In this way, Jerusalem is a stand-in for all of us. Jesus' love for us is so strong that it leads to his death. We've talked about this different times over the weeks. I think we talked about this in Betty's group when we were talking about the creed. It's Jesus died for us nearly 2,000 years ago. How did he know? How did he know? He said, Lord, as he's dying, he says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. He died for the ones in the past. He died for the ones in the present. He died for the ones in the future. Are we the future? Yeah. Yeah, here we are, 1,900 years later, 2,000 years later. He died on the cross for us. And I've wept in my truck driving back and forth between West Jordan and coming up here. And I'm overwhelmed by the sense of my gratitude that he died for me, not knowing who I am. You know, I'm just a distant future generation. Of course, once he went back to heaven, well, it's all different. But still, here was somebody that put their life on the line for each and every one of us. Think about that sometime. Go, wow, he died for us. So what's the bigger obstacle? Let's go back to the rock up here. What's the bigger obstacle? Herod's murderous plot to stop Jesus before he reaches Jerusalem or the cherished city itself? Loved by the Messiah, who it will ultimately kill upon arrival. Notice that Jesus said, I'm not going to die outside Jerusalem. Prophets don't die outside the walls. They die inside Jerusalem. Nothing can stop him from reaching the goal of his children, meaning Jerusalem and its residents and us. Jesus' love is opposed from the outside. They didn't understand him, and many of them hated him. But he keeps moving in his journeys. He was all around Jerusalem. But ultimately, where'd he end up? Jerusalem. We are now in a time period of Lent, the 40 days before Easter. We have set a course for ourselves, a course that will end in Jerusalem at the cross and the tomb. That's what we celebrate at Easter. We need to prepare ourselves for our own Jerusalems, whatever it may be. To face our own cross, kind of like where it says New Testament, pick up your cross, carry it. We need to be able to take it all in. My fear is that sometimes we don't focus enough. I don't focus enough. to say, let's take it all in. What does the Lord want us to do? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? We need to ask of our course, if your individual Christian walk is set resolutely enough, strong enough to say, I will finish the walk. Do we have a commitment to set our faces to Jerusalem or the cross up there and give our lives up for him? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, give it up for the Lord. There may be people who will be very unhappy with us, who might not like us, that might not want us to continue moving forward. But that's where you go through the obstacle. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Jesus is on an unstoppable course towards Jerusalem, so are we. But it also means that he's on an unstoppable course towards us. Embrace Jesus. When we gathered around Ev and Jill this morning to pray, did any of you notice the presence of the Spirit? I sure did. I feel the presence now of the Lord being here with each and every one of us. He's working on our hearts, and he's marching towards our hearts. God's tenacious. He is that unstoppable force. We think sometimes that we're the irresistible force that meets the immovable object. Well, God is, he's going to chip away at us. He's going to work away at us. And so as you embrace the things of God, that rock will be reduced to a little tiny sand pebble, piece of sand, just grain. Now, take a look at your bulletins. Let's all go to the bulletins for a minute. No, you're not going to have a pop quiz. If I was going to have a pop quiz, I'd either have Carol or Lisa set one up for us. Okay. So go down here on the announcements page. And go down there on where down there it says, oh my, oh dear, prayer, fasting and prayer on Tuesdays. So this Tuesday, so what I'm declaring is prayer and fasting on Tuesdays. It'll start on the 19th. It's on March 26th. And then you see April 2nd, 9th, the 2nd, the 9th, and the 16th. Some of the things that we want to pray for as a body, as a congregation, not just individually, but let's pray together. We have always your personal needs. The Lord wants to know what's going on inside you. He already knows. But he wants you to know. So pray about your personal needs. The growth of our church. Our church is stable. It's really very stable. Let's pray for the growth of that church. Spiritual direction. What is it the Lord wants you to do individually, no matter how old or young you are? And at the same time, let's pray for spiritual direction for our church, which I think we're on a pretty good road as far as our direction right now. So we want to continue that. And then what's the mission field? Our mission field is right out here. It's right out here. It's across the street from us. There's our mission field. Our mission fields can be Tremont. It can be Perry. It can be Willard. But we have that. So I'm really asking to be on board with this. Now, the fasting. Some of us can't fast too much because of things like diabetes or some of the other medicines that require, hey, you got to eat. But if you can give up one meal on Tuesdays, give up a meal. Fast instead of like lunchtime, pray at fast time. Pray fast at lunchtime. Pray. Pray for 10 minutes. Pray for 15 minutes. Whatever time you can do it, because there's power in prayer and fasting. Because remember, Jesus said there are some things. The disciples came to him and said, we're not able to do this stuff. And Jesus goes by, he says, some things take prayer and fasting to overcome the obstacle. So let's do that. If you want to come here to the church at noon on Tuesdays, I'm here. I'll be here in the sanctuary praying. So come on over. If you want to send me a text and saying, hey, Dave, I'm praying at work. Or, hey, Dave, I'm in the bathroom. Pray. That's a great place. You're by yourself.
TMI.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to know what stall you're in. Just pray. It doesn't matter. Just go, Lord, I don't know what to pray. And he says, here, the Holy Spirit is inside you and is going to make sure that you know what to pray. Let love abound. Let the power of God abound in your lives. Prayer and fasting is where it's at, folks. Now, my circuit leader of the small church circuit that we are part of, Elizabeth McVickers from First UMC down here in Salt Lake, she's my circuit leader. So she and I had lunch last Monday or Tuesday. And so we got to, as we shared with each other, because she and I haven't had a chance to talk about a lot of things, just to get to know each other better, even though I've been with her now for a couple of years as far as the circuit. She and I have, incredibly enough, very, very similar ministries and backgrounds and gifts and ministries. Amazing. So she's, yeah, So she is going to come up here, and she and I are going to do a little prayer around as far as this church to pray for who knows what's underneath the subfloor of the basement and all that jazz. Right, Alvin? Okay, more than one thing is touching him on the shoulder, and he's the only one there. Only kidding, just kidding, just kidding. No, we're not going to have ghost adventurers come here. So she's going to come. She and I are going to pray. We're going to pray for this church as far as the building, the land, pray for you as a congregation. If you want to come and be part of that, when she and I set a date, be here. There will be plenty of oil. I've got a half gallon in the office.
Yeah, we know.
We know. Okay?
Okay. But it stains carpet and stuff.
Yeah. And then we're also going over to the parsonage to do the same thing over there. Okay? So we are in a time of spiritual warfare. We are in a time of prayer and fasting. We are in a time of going before God and saying, Lord, remove the obstacles. I don't want that rock up there. I don't want to be able to see it. I want it just to be the size of a grain of sand. Okay? Amen. Can everybody agree with that?
Amen.
Now, how excited are you about prayer and fasting? I thought so. You're going, but I'm not good. I can't go without every hour, you know, having something to nibble on. So, yes, the thing about prayer and fasting is it puts your flesh to death. It puts the old man or old woman to death. Isn't that wonderful? It's great. Do it. I triple dog dare you. Do it. Oh, but you'll find that prayer and fasting brings us all closer together. Not that we aren't always, but it brings you closer together spiritually, too. So I encourage you, do it. Wherever you're at, pray. Skip a meal. If you can do it for the whole day, go for it. Go, Lord, I'm going to try it. And don't say, I'm going to start at 8, and by 8:15, you're already having something to eat. It's not that hard. You just got to focus, okay? So are you on board with trying to do the prayer and fasting this Tuesday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, so Sue, I want you to take all the votes from everybody to see who actually did it or not.
Okay.
But no, it's on you.
We'll have a weigh-in.
Yeah, we'll do a weigh-in, sure.
Secret handshake.
But pray, fast. What is it that God wants you to do in your own personal life, in the life of your family, and in the life of your church? Okay, prayer and fasting is important that we do that because it helps us focus on the Lord as we move to Easter. Because Easter's all about Jesus. It isn't about us. It's all about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have offering.